we'll start kind of big picture. Everyone thinks they know what free speech means, but how much do they really understand it and things like freedom of the press and the things that spin off of free speech?
There's a lot of evidence that people can't name what the First Amendment freedoms are, for example. But if you ask people in general whether they support freedom of expression, some 98% of people say that they do. But when you start to ask people things where there are specific scenarios and there are other things that are being balanced against freedom of expression, then people are much more willing to sort of limit or restrict freedom of expression.
Having said that, aside from weeks like Free Speech Week, what can be done to better educate people about free speech, free expression, and its importance?
I think there's a couple of really key things. One is that in high schools and middle schools, there really needs to be an increased curriculum, not only about freedom of expression, but also just about sort of the basic tenets of democracy overall. I think there also needs to be an increase in the explicit teaching of how to have a difficult conversation with somebody that you disagree with. We've for so long told people to just avoid talking about politics and religion, and I think that's just made us really bad about talking about politics and religion. And yet these are things that people care very deeply about, and so we need to be able to have conversations about these things.
That gets to the whole issue of civility. How big a piece is that? The ability not just to respect people's freedoms, but to do it in a civil way.
Right. I think it's really crucial to learn how to talk about something that you have a lot of passion about without demonizing the other side, and to try to truly understand where they're coming from. And that's become really difficult in, I think, you know, our current media environment makes that even more challenging than it has been in the past, because due to algorithms and the ability to personalize your own sort of, you know, where you are, you've got this opportunity to only hear things that you already agree with. And so if we don't have the opportunity to hear the other points of view, how can we have, or we can't even agree on the same set of facts, how can we have any kind of productive discussion, and how can we move forward as a society if we can't even discuss these things?
Beyond that, are there some other particular challenges you see to free speech, free expression, free press that you see as particularly threatening these rights in this country?
A couple of things. I think that hate speech and sort of really sort of extremist speech online is a really big challenge right now. And I know that a lot of people want the government to step in and do something, and I think that that really is a mistake. Except in some very limited circumstances. So the second thing that people kind of go to is, well, then Facebook and Twitter and the platforms need to do something. I'm also sort of uncomfortable with that. I think that they do need to have a role, but if you think about the logistics of how they do that, it's basically using algorithms to identify problematic material. But the algorithms have all kinds of problems that make it so they, first of all, don't identify everything that they should identify, but they also do identify things that they should not identify. So, for example, YouTube was going to take down everything that was sort of white nationalist, but in addition to taking down some of that, they also took down things that were about the history of World War II and Nazis and that kind of stuff, you know, educational stuff. And so the limits of what algorithms can do are pretty limited too. So I think there are a lot of things in terms of education, in terms of advocacy, in terms of some very clever sort of individual level things that people do to try to deal with the negative effects of hate speech that also still respect the rights of freedom of expression.
When you talk about the algorithms and what social media platforms can do, does it give you some pause then when you see in a presidential debate a Kamala Harris saying Twitter should shut down President Trump's Twitter feed? Does that give you a little pause?
It does make me uncomfortable. I think that the way that the platforms are enforcing the rules that they have put together, it's very hit and miss. It makes me uncomfortable if they're going to restrict, if they're going to make decisions about restricting political speech in particular. I find that deeply troubling. On the other hand, I also find it deeply troubling that people can intentionally put out things that are false. And so I don't quite know what to do. I wish I did. I'd probably make a lot of money.
I want to dig into some other things a little bit deeper. But before we do that, we mentioned that it is Free Speech Week next week. UD is doing some things associated with that week. Just tell us a little bit about some of the events that are happening here at UD and what you'll be doing to use this week to educate people about free speech issues.
Yeah, so there are two sort of pieces that we're doing. One is we've had a partnership with PEN America. PEN America is a group that supports the rights of free expression rights of writers around the country. And that's writers of any kind, from fiction to journalism. Their campus free speech director, Jonathan Friedman, will be coming to campus and doing workshops. He's going to do one workshop with students and student leaders, and then he'll be doing actually a couple of workshops with the professional staff in residence life and in student life. So I'm very excited about that partnership. And then through that partnership with them, PEN America is actually partnering with Index on Censorship this year to do a campus free speech tour. And they together have worked with us to bring in Safa Al-Ahmad, who is a documentary journalist who is originally from Saudi Arabia. And she's done work on Yemen in particular and has produced documentaries for the BBC and for PBS.
Is it in some ways, do you think, really informative to show people the challenges that others elsewhere have exercising these rights? Does you feel like that goes a long way to maybe helping people better understand how valuable the rights they have here in this country are? So when you bring someone in who's covering things in Saudi Arabia and Yemen where it's a lot tougher lift, do you think that helps maybe people get a little context about what they actually have in this country?
I do. I think I've noticed even from my classes that I've taught, when you can give students an example of how a journalist might be persecuted or even put in jail for doing something that in the United States would be perfectly acceptable and legal, it does make them sort of pause because they're so accustomed to the way that it is in the United States that they don't maybe fully appreciate what we do have in terms of the First Amendment guarantees.
I want to talk about some specific examples of things that are kind of in the news now and just get your takes on those. Let's talk a little bit about something even close to home in Wilmington. City Council President Hanifa Shabazz filed a complaint against a resident recently who's been especially outspoken at council meetings and actually had him arrested. She cited his past disrespect and a, quote, violation of FCC regulations, suggesting that her physical well-being was threatened. The man himself concedes he had used profanity at the meeting, but a number of people, including some of those on council, worry this would have a chilling effect on speech. What do you see when you see a story like this?
Honestly, I think it's a little ridiculous. I don't know a whole lot about what he said before he was banned from speaking. I do think it would be perfectly legitimate to have a time, place, or manner restriction. So maybe give him 5 minutes or ask him not to swear or those sorts of things. I think those sorts of restrictions would be fine. But to ban someone from speaking altogether at an open public forum run by a government body, that seems to me to be about as directly contradictory to the First Amendment as I can imagine. I don't think it's a good idea to ban somebody entirely. And from what I've read, while he may have been unpleasant, it was not a direct threat to do anything to a specific person that was imminent. So I don't think it was a good idea to ban him.
And then to have him arrested, it kind of takes it another step further, right?
Having him arrested was absolutely ridiculous. I can't even imagine why the police agreed to do it, frankly. That's beyond the pale.
Earlier this week, there was a lot made of a graphically violent parody video that depicted a likeness of President Trump shooting and stabbing opponents and members of the news media. It had been on the web for over a year, but in this case, interestingly, it was shown at a free speech conference at a Trump resort. How worrisome are these type of things in terms of threatening free speech? And maybe kind of getting the balance between speech, protecting people's right to do things like this versus what impact these things might have.
Yeah, I think this is part of a larger pattern, unfortunately, of Trump and Trump supporters attacking journalists. And so I think to understand people's reactions to it, you have to recognize that it's not an isolated incident. And that there has been actual violence against real journalists in the United States and against Washington Post reporter Jamal Khashoggi, and the United States has not really forcefully responded to that. And so I think within that context, the reaction, the horror at this video was understandable. Again, I don't think there's anything that you should do to ban it, but you know, the First Amendment doesn't keep you from having consequences for what you choose to do. It allows you the right to do it. It doesn't allow you the right for people to think, oh, yeah, that's fine, and not say anything back to you. So I think the response, the condemnation, is perfectly legitimate. Do I wish they hadn't showed it? Sure. But I don't think that anybody should ban them from showing it.
And I guess that brings me to the point of trying to find that line. Like, where is that line where something is, as we've talked about in some other situations, beyond the pale versus just something that you may find offensive but still has protections?
That's a very, very tricky question. Generally, the Supreme Court has held that unless there's the imminent threat of physical violence, then the speech has some, you know, First Amendment protection. But again, there are things like time, place, manner restrictions that you can use as long as you're applying those in a content-neutral way that are permissible. I think in terms of the line between offensive and something that should actually be censored, it really does have to be a very narrow band of things that can be censored, just frankly because I don't trust governments to apply that in a way that leaves them more discretion. I know that in other countries the ways in which those things have been applied, sometimes they're used to actually limit people who are in the minority from speaking out about the majority, and that to me is it's worth a little bit of uncomfortableness to avoid the possibility of that happening.
I want to finish on something that's really kind of what seems to me a real gray area. The NBA has had a real issue with China after one of its general managers tweeted support for Hong Kong protesters. Then China pushed back, putting the league in this position of trying to balance its players and executives' free speech rights, which they generally have been very liberal with, and its international business interests in building a market in China. Is this kind of a quiet threat to speech when these two things kind of bump up against each other?
I think so. I think that it's a very, very, again, very tricky line to walk. You can understand why the NBA would want to protect their business rights. But on the other hand, telling a general manager that he can't speak out about the Hong Kong protests seems to me to maybe be a little too far for a business. Again, I don't think that the government should step in to do anything, but I do think that the NBA is it legitimately receiving some criticism for telling people not to, you know, not to speak out about in support of Hong Kong.
These are all incredibly interesting topics, incredibly great discussions, and certainly a large part of what's going to be happening during Free Speech Week. So we appreciate you kind of setting this all up for us today.
Thank you very much.